Dispensing cannabis business knowledge beyond a million square feet of cultivation space, CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Blunt Business, harvested by Strainwise Consulting. Together, we will navigate the challenges and opportunities of one of the most profitable industries on earth. Join us each episode to hear our weekly roundtables and interviews with industry professionals. Now, let's delve into some Blunt Business with your host.
We're so glad to have you back here for another edition of Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com, presented by the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, where you'll learn more about that, and we'll talk about all the goings-on with the USCC Expo at usccexpo.com. Today, we focus on the rich soils of Southern Oregon's Emerald Triangle, where Hemptown is producing some of the world's finest full-spectrum hemp-derived CBD and CBG, which we're going to explain those three letters because I know all of you know CBD on this program. Maybe you don't know that much about CBD, and maybe you haven't heard that much about what's going on in Oregon in the cannabis market, which is obviously one of the earliest of those to receive adult use and medical cannabis. So we're going to talk all about that with our guest, the CEO of Hemptown, John Cummings. John, thanks for being here with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
I really appreciate you having you on, and we're glad we were able to get you have this all put together. So first of all, let's talk about Hemptown. It differentiates itself from many growers in that it has chosen to farm feminized hemp. Though it's much more difficult to grow than industrial hemp, feminized hemp is the core ingredient behind multiple cannabinoids such as CBD, CBG, as in God, and CBN, like the Pat Robertson thing. Feminized hemp thus represents an extremely lucrative market opportunity for experienced farmers. So, John, take our listeners why you felt the decision to farm feminized hemp was the route Hemptown wanted to take.
Sure. Well, you know, feminized hemp is much more similar to, you know, I guess, the traditional THC-type plant that everybody knows and loves. It grows the same. It almost looks the same. It has a much fuller spectrum of cannabinoids in the genetics. In fact, feminized hemp perhaps was used to be THC strains, just crossbred to remove the THC from the strain, or at least suppress it below the U.S. standards in the Farm Bill, and then express other cannabinoids. And as a result, it's a richer plant. It's got a much larger profile, and more cannabinoids, and it's not like the industrial tricrop plants that, you know, are also heavy in fiber, seeds, and so forth. Feminized hemp is very much a flower-focused plant. And by that, we mean, you know, that the flowers and the buds grow very big, the stems and seeds, the seeds are non-existent, the stems are very small, and it just allows us to focus on the compounds of the plant that are designed or, you know, benefit, you know, on the more of the wellness aspect of, you know, the hemp industry.
As I said at the top of the program, I talked about CBG. And I want to go ahead and bring that up right now and give some people some context, so get ready to be educated here. So CBG is a little off the radar right now, but Hemptown is a group that feels like it's a space that you can own. CBG, or cannabigerol, is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid that plays an important role in the biochemistry of the cannabis plant. CBG acts as a chemical precursor to other cannabinoids, such as THC and CBD. Now, CBG is seen as the Rolls-Royce of cannabinoids. Hemptown is one of four producers in the United States. CBG has been effective as an anti-inflammatory, stress anxiety reliever, glaucoma treatment, psoriasis, and eczema treatment, among other applications. That's amazing. So much there's, and I'm surprised that it doesn't receive as much attention as CBD, but talk to me why the folks at Hemptown find that so important to focus on and why it doesn't get more focus.
Sure. Thanks, Brasco. Sure. Really, CBG, you know, is one of the 113 cannabinoids. And, you know, I think as the public begins to become more familiar with hemp and with the cannabis plant and has a deeper understanding of the cannabinoids, we're going to, you know, learn about all of them. The ones that we started with were THCA. Obviously, that played a big role in the recreational markets. There was a lot of focus on developing genetics to express that cannabinoid. CBD was the dominant cannabinoid in industrial hemp. Even though it's at fairly low percentages in that plant, it's still the one that just naturally was dominant in the genetics. So, you know, we looked at, you know, I think farmers and farm relators paid attention to D because of the label. and you CBD, you know, marketed in almost any, cannabinoid infused product that's non-psychoactive, it might be mismarketed just a tiny bit, because unless you're taking a product that has been formulated from a CBD isolate, any products that would have a broad or full spectrum ingredient in it are also including trace amounts of all of these other cannabinoids. And that's why you'll find people having different experiences with similar products. And it's because, this profile might be different, and they may not even be having the benefits of the CBD. They may be reacting to another cannabinoid altogether. But as, research continues and we begin to understand the effects and benefits of these different cannabinoids, on the genetic side, we're developing, strains that express those as dominant cannabinoids. And G was one that, genetics companies began to focus on. It takes about 3 years to develop a stable strain. So right. In the genetics community, G is, not news to anybody, though they've been working on this for a long time. And now it's now becoming available to be grown at a commercial scale, and we can make G available. What's great about G and in all future cannabinoids as they come out is, now that we have a plant that is a dominant CBD plant, we can extract and isolate those cannabinoids. We can also now do that with G as well. And now you can create formulations that have, meaningful amounts of these additional cannabinoids. And as that occurs, the products and applications in the hemp market will only continue to improve and become better and more useful to consumers.
Before we go to break, I want to mention just a quick story, which I want to just preface real quick. Yahoo Finance put a story out about the difference between CBG and CBD. Interesting, a couple of points. So I just want to point out just for the audience here. So as we mentioned about glaucoma, it may treat glaucoma and relieve intraocular pressure. And that's something that CBD is not able to do, according to this report. Then there's also MRSA, the type of staph infection that's resistant. And just there's a MRSA. That's another thing that could take care of. Mm-hmm. And also GABA reuptake inhibition. It also could help inflammatory bowel disease and colitis, help work for Huntington's and neurodegenerative diseases. And there's studies that are shown throughout this story that talk about it. I'll make sure to throw this into the description so people can see that as well. And also it could say it could potentially fight cancer. This is amazing how much is there. So is there anything that you've been reading about in terms of, obviously, with what you're doing with this, talk to me about any of the medical research or anybody that might be asking for samples to experiment and to do some R&D with.
Well, that's what we'll expect coming out of this year's harvest. So CBG hasn't been grown in a commercial scale at all up until this point. It's a very difficult cannabinoid to isolate in the current genetics that have been in the market. As a precursor, the plant, as it begins to flower, has a concentration of CBG, in about week two or three of its cycle. But then as the plant matures and this genetics kick in, it begins converting that G into all of the other cannabinoids that develop the profile for that plant. So your choices are either to harvest at week three, where the CBG is, there's a high amount of CBG in the plant's profile, but the yields are incredibly low. Or wait for the plant to go to full, fulfill its cycle, but you're going to walk past several other cannabinoids to get to the trace amount of CBG that didn't convert during that growth cycle. So the genetics have finally been able to, our geneticists have finally been able to design strains where the CBG does not convert and it goes to full cycle. We get it all the way out to, mid-September. And we'll now have, between 10 and 15% cannabinoid that is specifically G. So I think, there's some research companies, and I think GW Pharmaceuticals is in the mix, that have applied for, research grants or applications with the FDA for approvals. They're beginning very early stages of those research. But now that farmers like us, and we're proud to say, I think we'll have the largest CBD crop in America this year. We expect those solicitations to come to us.
Congratulations on that. And I really do hope there are some researchers that will come back and they will come talk to you about trying to get some of those strains so they could use to really test some things out, because that right there is fascinating. And if nobody's talking about that, I can't tell you I could find a lot of shows that talk about that, but I'm glad we got to talk about it here in Blunt Business. Thank you for sharing that information. So we're here with
our pleasure. You know,
yeah, go ahead.
More importantly, I mean, while CBG sits in research for the next few years, you know, coming up with, you know, and doing the clinical trials needed so that they can claim, you know, their efficacies and come out as, you know, strongly formulated applications or you know, products for, you know, for some of those diseases you've discussed. Mm-hmm. You know, on a more, you know, nutraceutical scale, it'll be, you know, in the markets next year. And as an anti-inflammatory, I mean, it's a fantastic sports recovery product. You know, people, you know, for muscle inflammation, trainers and athletes and things of that as well. So I think we'll be seeing and hearing the stories about G, you know, a lot more in the future.
And you will have heard it here first on Blunt Business here on Cannabis Radio. We're going to continue with this great conversation with the CEO of Hemptown, John Cummings, here on Blunt Business. But first, I got to tell you, the 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, our wonderful sponsors here on the show, is returning to Miami August 3rd and 4th. You can learn more at usccexpo.com. Doctors, join us Friday, August 2nd, day before the show, for our physician training and certification program. Take the exam to become a certified medical marijuana physician. Patients, you could get to see a medical doctor for evaluation so you can quickly and easily get your medical marijuana card. So Florida residents, make note and be at the show. Education, speed networking, powerful keynotes, and a very interactive exhibit space. Huge last year. We hope you'll be able to join us. It all awaits you at the 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo, August 3rd and 4th, downtown Miami, inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown. Log on to usccexpo.com. Secure your tickets today. Back with John Cummings after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
In 2018, the National Cannabis Industry Association saw a 60% increase in congressional co-sponsorship of their priority legislation, the federal legalization of hemp, as well as the election of a new Congress expected to be more cannabis-friendly. NCIA will host our 9th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days, May 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C. Join in. Advocate for our industry and forge a unified front with the industry's most politically engaged leaders. NCIA members from across the country descend on Capitol Hill for our annual Lobby Days event to tell their stories and advocate for federal reforms needed for our industry to reach its full potential. Make your plans now to be at the National Cannabis Industry Association's 9th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days in Washington, D.C. Register for Lobby Days and learn how NCIA works to advance the cannabis industry's policy agenda every day at www.thecannabisindustry.org/lobbydays2019. Now available for pre-order through crowdfunding for just $14 plus $10 shipping. Pouches, premium mixing and rolling pouches allow you to carry and prepare your herbs for consumption with discretion and ease. These stylish pouches are handcrafted using strong zips, long-wearing buffalo leather outside, and smooth sheepskin inside. A portion of proceeds go to fund vital medical research into cannabis for ADHD. See a demo and get yours now on Indiegogo or pouches.com. That's pouchz.com.
Let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
We are back with John Cummings, the CEO of Hemptown, here on Blunt Business this week. Since, John, the passage of the Farm Bill, Oregon has registered over 25,000 acres of hemp, with more acreage coming online every week. This volume of acreage under production will require more than 50 million feminized plants, a lot of room to cover. Naturally, there will be hundreds of thousands of acres grown requiring up to 500 million feminized seeds, seed starts, or clones. So help me understand why feminized hemp is the choice for most Oregon hemp growers.
I'll tell you that the climate allows the feminized genetic to thrive. I could probably, tell you that more than anything, there's a microclimate that's specific to the Emerald Triangle that isn't found really anywhere else in the U.S. or, for that matter. And as a result, we can get the yields and results from feminized hemp that you don't necessarily get in other parts of the country. The soil types are very compatible as well. And, in the genetics, I think we're designed and developed there. We're feminized hemp, but we could also argue that, since Oregon was in the, in the THC cannabis realm, years ahead of a lot of other states, that the geneticists, when they began, designing strains for CBD, were just taking THC strains and converting them. That might also have been a factor. I was just kind of curious how we got to that, but the strain or the feminized hemp strains absolutely thrive in the Oregon climate. And as a result, I think we can grow better CBD, a feminized product there than anywhere else in the country.
Fantastic. Now, Hemptown, its cultivation boasts high yields of 2,000 pounds, or roughly 1,000 kilograms for those of you listening on the other side of the states, per acre. With expansion of farmland, in-house extraction / processing facilities, and a branded product line, your vertically integrated business model is well positioned to capitalize on, capitalize on a global market expected to exceed $22 billion by 2020, just next year. Talk to me about how the passage of the hemp bill plays into Hemptown's plans. Was there anything that really changed once the bill was in play, and were there any changes to the strategy or the business model?
No, absolutely. The farm bill basically brings hemp to, mainstream America. I would tell you that it created a core agricultural crop almost overnight. Hemp has only been grown on smaller scales as a research and development project up until now. And with the passage of the farm bill, we are able to, expand our footprint, from where we grew in 50 acres last year, we'll be in over 2,000 acres for our 2019 crop, and then exceeding 5,000 acres projected for 2020. So, the farm bill's definitely opened that door. I think it's also, it's a key agricultural crop now for farmers, and let's make sure they understand that hemp is big agriculture, and I don't mean big agriculture in the sense of like Monsanto. I mean in the sense that you can grow it at the scale of you can corn, soybean, other crops, and that are consumed in mass quantities. Whereas THC cannabis is more of a micro agricultural play. A lot of the growing done indoors. You can only scale at 10,000 square feet at a time. We can scale by acres. So we think of hemp in the quantities, tons and acres instead of, pounds and square feet. And that's really the defining difference. And that's what the farm bills allowed. The farm bills, opened up a market for it. You've seen the announcements. It's going to be carried in CVS and Walgreens stores all over the country. That basically puts a retail location on every commercial corner in America. And, there's the consumer public, and people begin to understand its benefits, and they begin to take it and get that sense of well-being that, hemp-based cannabinoid products can provide. That market's just going to increase, substantially. And then you also have the industrial hemp and the tricrop material and all the value that comes from the fiber as well. So, I think hemp can, kind of touch and play have an effect on almost every aspect of the consumer market. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And the U.S. and the Farm Bill has opened up those doors for us.
New developments in CBD genetics are about to shake up the cannabis industry. And then the story goes on to say that, quote, planting feminized seeds outdoors reduces the risks of spreading male pollen, which can cause major problems for neighboring cannabis growing operations. What do you think about that prognostication?
Well, when you start growing scale, and we purchased 4.5 million hemp seeds this year. I'm trying to imagine trying to grow 4.5 million clones in late April at that scale. It almost becomes unfeasible. You have to have that many mothers in the facility that was turning out that many clones. So, I think seeds is a natural transition just because of the scale that we're working at. But then, the feminized plant, you're right, doesn't produce males or a very small number of males. And so as a result, you know, you have, you know, our crops are protected from pollination. That said, you know, there are some small risks, you know, especially in states outside of Oregon where you'll have industrial hemp crops growing that do have male plants in them. The pollen can travel upwards of 5 miles from a particular field. So, you know, it's very important when we look at where we are planting our feminized hemp seed, planting our feminized hemp plant, that we're not adjacent to any of those industrial hemp fields as well.
Interesting. Now, with the fact of how well feminized hemp can grow, I know there's been also some organizations within Oregon that are looking to try to ban male hemp cultivation. What do you know about that at all?
You know, we haven't heard much about that. Male plant cultivation would really, there's not a lot of benefit to it in the wellness aspect of hemp. You know, where we're growing these feminized plants and we're targeting the flower, a male cultivation, you know, would only potentially pose a risk. The yields in the male plants, you know, don't yield a very high percentage of CBD potency or any other cannabinoid. It's really, we've only seen that in industrial hemp fields. And so far, Oregon has not been an industrial hemp state.
And it just sounds like really the going idea is that feminized, because of the environment, just to go through something else. And very interesting about how far in history, with hemp going on back before of what's been grown. I know that Oregon has also had quite a bit of history I've been trying to read up on in terms of how much of a crop it was in that area as well, especially in certain areas. Because in Minnesota, we talked to a group that's out there as well, and how they're really, that what used to be back in the 40s and 50s was a really big cash crop. Same kind of environment, same kind of weather conditions. I could definitely see where that really holds true. So again, I'm here with the CEO of Hemptown, John Cummings, here on Blunt Business. Back with final questions in just a moment.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
The National Cannabis Industry Association's 6th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo returns to San Jose, California's McInerney Convention Center, July 22nd through the 24th. Register today at CannabisBusinessSummit.com and take part in the most influential, award-winning cannabis conference and trade show hosted by the cannabis industry's only national trade association. NCIA's Cannabis Business Summit and Expo offers attendees 3 days of engagement and interactive programs. Arrive early so you can participate in our pre-conference workshops and off-site tours. Join hundreds upon hundreds of exhibitors and thousands upon thousands of attendees at NCIA's 6th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo, July 22nd through the 24th in San Jose, California. Register today at CannabisBusinessSummit.com. That's CannabisBusinessSummit.com.
Educate, empower, and engage in the evolution of the cannabis industry. Join thousands of industry professionals on August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida for the return of the U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo. Register for an early bird discount now at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
We're on the home stretch here on Blunt Business. Final questions here with John Cummings, the CEO of Hemptown. So before we got on the air here, John, I know we were talking about the fact of, first of all, I recently did an interview with Mariel Weintraub with the U.S. Hemp Authority. We discussed the recent statement from FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb about new steps to advance agencies' continued evaluation of potential regulatory pathways for cannabis-containing and cannabis-derived products. You mentioned to me, well, maybe I should get Scott on the show, but you know what? If I did, he would talk like that, and I wouldn't get one answer out of him that I really wanted. So just the truth, right?
True.
But now the hang-up is... The hang of concern that that Marielle pointed out, and which is very important, is that the FDA says its rules, even though the hemp bill has been passed, they do not yet allow CBD to be added to food. So does this hold up by the FDA present any obstacles towards what you're working on?
No, not. I mean, there's so many other, you know, applications and uses for cannabinoids that don't necessarily have to be, you know, in classified as food. So, you know, everything from there's capsules, tinctures, creams, patches, you know, a number of different types of products. So while that category could, you know, will be a big category for formulators in the future, you know, the industry doesn't need it right now to, you know, meet its goals and to thrive and to, you know, and to, you know, enter the marketplace and be successful. So, you know, we'll let the FDA, you know, take their time to determine that what we already know is that, you know, that these cannabinoids are non-toxic. They don't present any real threat to the body. I have a feeling that, you know, if they have a hesitancy about having it in food products, it's so much about the, you know, potential dangers of the cannabinoids, it's probably going to be how they are grown and produced and make sure that they follow certain best practices to prevent contamination and any other type of, you know, maybe, you know, bacterial threats that, you know, would happen if it wasn't handled properly.
Fantastic. So I'm really loving what you're doing right now in Oregon and with, I mean, what the size, the yield of the crops and all, it's just, that's fantastic. And a lot to talk about and a lot to look, keep an eye on Hemptown USA. So for people that want to go ahead and keep an eye on what's going on with all of you there in Oregon, tell our listeners where they can go ahead and learn more about what you're doing and, you know, tell us about more what they can learn from the website, hemptownusa.com.
Sure. So hemptownusa.com is, you know, our site that's there for, you know, it's more of a corporate site, but we also release information and news that we learn about the different cannabinoids. Also, we make announcements regarding to our company and the products that we either have in development or the crops that we have planted, the cannabinoids that we are focused on. So it's a good resource to understand the company, its scale, what its business model and mission is. And then on social media, Hemptown USA, you can follow that. We get a little bit more into just the, you know, cannabis space in general there. We'll discuss and talk about, you know, emerging either trends or discoveries or result, you know, new facts and findings that, you know, come, you know, seem to be coming almost every single day. This is an industry that's moving at light speed, and, you know, the announcements just keep coming one right after another, and, you know, can be difficult to keep up with, but, you know, we try to provide that resource.
And I got to tell you, too, if people should go ahead and look for the LinkedIn page for Hemptown USA, because a lot of good information there. And also, just looking at the crop, just looking at the area, the size of the tractors you got out there, the irrigation, the fields that you're getting irrigated and you're getting ready to plant, and just seeing just the plants starting to make their way up, amazing. And offering pre-order for strains now as well. So people should definitely get on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and for formulators that are listening, you know, that are looking at CBG as an ingredient that they'd like to have in their products next year, you'll go on our site. You'll find that, you know, we're projected to have 1 million pounds of CBG biomass harvested in September. And that will make us one of the world's largest suppliers. I think, you know, as we've already, you know, kind of learned, and then we're already hearing, you know, just about every formulator in the market wants a G aspect or a G part of their, you know, include a G into their formulations. It's a big product differentiator going into next year. I mean, everybody has D in their product line, but then if, you know, they can add G to it as well, that just gives them an opportunity to create some space between them and their competitors. And, you know, we've got a good supply of it, and we're ready to talk.
Fantastic. So, John Cummings, CEO of Hemptown, I'm so thankful for you to join us here on Blunt Business. Thanks again for making time. I know there's a lot of good information come out of this, and I'll tell you, you opened my eyes to CBG. When I read some about this, I said, well, we got somebody that's a good source about it, and like I said, one of four producers out there. I think that, you know, not for nothing, I just feel like CBG, from what I'm reading right now, just because it hasn't been a lot read about it, not enough talked about it, but like you said, I think of the next year, those three letters are going to be a lot more synonymous with what's going on with cannabis and hemp, and I think people need to pay close attention.
You're absolutely correct. You know, we thank our genetics company for even knowing that G was a thing 3 years ago. You know, it took them 3 years to develop the genetics that we're putting into our fields this year. That's the head start that we have that other, growers might not have for a while. So, and we'll continue that cannabinoid train. I think then the genetic to follow this will be CBN, and then more. We'd like to think that we'll always be 1-2 years ahead of the rest of the market when it comes to cannabinoid profiles and the and the strains that we grow, and then the distillates and isolates and formulations we can offer. And that's kind of our, what we're hanging our hat on.
Absolutely. John, thanks again for joining us. Thank you really much for helping out and joining us. So we will definitely keep up with you down the line. And if anything does come up with CBG, I'll make sure you're the first to contact.
Rocco, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
And my pleasure. So again, Blunt Business is presented by the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. It's coming up August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida. Make sure to educate, engage, and empower with the cannabis industry, with an audience that will listen and engage with you and look at you and your company as a business, as an industry leader. So again, August 3rd and 4th, Miami, Florida. Leave a lasting impression on thousands of attendees. Be an attendee, and you still have a chance to go and be a speaker, sponsor, or exhibitor. Reach out to us at usccexpo.com, usccexpo.com. That's how you find us. Thanks for joining us here on Blunt Business. You can download past episodes by going to cannabisradio.com. You can also subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. I hope you do rate and review us. Give us a 5 stars. Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Thank you for listening.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.